It's been so long, I don't even know how to do the intro.
Can you not, like, re-listen to a podcast just in here?
Welcome to the Rod Squad, the internet's freshest Twilight Zone podcast, where five people take you through the internet, or not the internet, the cult classic television show, The Twilight Zone. Today we're doing a bonus episode.
Bonus.
Entitled, What Scares You? In which we all talk about things from movies. They can be horror movies. They can be regular movies that really freaked us out and why. And I'm joined by myself, Ben, and usual co-host
Ashley,
and then friend of the show, former guest.
Hey, I'm Ben's brother, Max.
And then some newbies, one we've had on
Hello.
The show and one we've talked about.
Just happy
units.
To be here.
Well, what's
your
name?
Are
you going as like a duo, the parental units?
No,
yes.
I'll be Rebecca.
I'll be Ted Meister.
This is part two of a kind of joint podcast thing that, because I did an episode with Dad Meister's podcast, EGADS. You can download that on iTunes. Are you guys on Podbean? Or you...
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so look up EGADS on Podbean. That's capital EGADS.
Right.
With a exclamation point. Yeah, check them out. I'm going to be on an episode, and their other stuff is great anyway.
And exclamation point.
And exclamation
point. Exclamation point.
You know what I mean. There's a little dot, and then there's a big line. EGADS, though. So, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for having me earlier this week. Anyway, as stated before, we're going to talk about some spooky things. More specifically, what about those spooky things scared us? I think we're just going to go in a circle, go for two rounds, and then call it a night. So should I lead us off as your fearless host, or did someone else want to go first?
No, you should take it away.
All right, so for my first movie, this is not a movie that still holds up as a scary movie, I don't think by any standards, but the original Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Lee Curtis and that Michael Myers, I don't know who played Michael Myers. Some bozo, I'd imagine.
I can look it up.
Yeah, some bozo with the William Shatner mask.
Was it a William Shatner mask?
William Shatner Halloween
wow.
mask.
Wow, that's cool. Did Shatner get paid?
No.
No? I guess they must have, like, bleached it or something, right? So,
yeah.
But, what really...
Nick Castle.
Oh, Nick Castle. Classic Castle role. I think he really hit his prime.
John Carpenter with that music.
Yes.
That they used to play here every Halloween up the street.
Yeah. I'll splice it in. I'm not going to sing it. But that's what scared me about the movie. I watched it for the first time.
Oh, the music scared you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When I was dog-sitting Ashley's dog, Scout, while she was at work, and I was like, huh, you know what I really like to watch while I'm alone in a house? Halloween!
At least you had a small dog to protect you.
Yeah. But, the visuals don't really hold up. It was made in the 70s, so the gore is not all there. And, you know, a lot of the scares are a little more, like, chuckly and a little less, like, screams, but... Hey, there's something very haunting about that music.
Mm-hmm.
It's just creepy. It feels like you're being stalked, and it kind of floats around the room. So that really freaked me out, and they kind of did that with the sequel, which came out this year, which I actually really enjoyed. Retconned Halloween 2 through 16, and made a new Halloween sequel with Jamie Lee Curtis. And isn't Jamie Lee Curtis in that? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, she's
sure.
The...
I keep wanting to say Jodie Foster.
Do you know who she's married to?
Who?
Mr. Curtis.
No.
Christopher Guest.
Wow.
Who wrote and produced...
Best of Show.
Best
the
of
other
show.
Movie on my list tonight.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
What?
I'm kidding.
It was absolutely terrifying, all those dogs.
Yeah. But, yeah, the music really, really, really creeps me out. And that's why Halloween spooks me.
All right.
Which way? Are we going clockwise or counterclockwise?
Is that all we're going to do with Halloween?
Well, I don't know. Is there anything else? What do you guys think?
But Halloween.
I mean, have you guys seen the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Halloween.
You've never
was...
seen Halloween?
Mm-mm.
Halloween was one of the first slashers of the 70s. And one of the reasons it was groundbreaking was it really had a lot to do with that point of view a lot of movies mm-hmm. before then didn't have the point of view that you have of the killer walking around and observing the characters from afar and sneaking up on them. And it also is one of the first movies with the killer that wouldn't die.
Right.
Because he keeps coming back like a bad case of foot odor. You do what you can, but then you put your shoes on again and there it is.
It's
so it is with Michael Myers.
It's interesting because he's more human than the other big kind of slasher icons and Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees. Like, Freddy is a demon, I guess, and Jason is kind of this... I mean, he's like a zombie almost, but Michael
right.
Myers is just this kind of deranged lunatic.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
absolutely.
You know, he just... I think, that, like, the humanization kind of makes it scarier.
And he's got his Ahab, the psychiatrist.
Yeah, who's like his handler almost. Very
yeah,
creepy.
And he's chasing around... Think about Halloween. Originally, they wanted to make it a series. But Halloween, it was going to be independent films. Each one that came out would have been different. And Halloween 2, because Halloween 1 was so successful, they said, well, we got to do a sequel.
Yeah.
And the sequel didn't do so well, so finally for the third one, was some weird story about pumpkins that exploded or
yeah.
chased little kids.
Well, Halloween 2 was like Night of the Witch, right? Or something like that?
Or maybe Halloween 3 was.
Yeah, but that's the one that kind of, they were just like, all right, back to Michael Myers.
Oh, yeah, maybe. So whatever, we're right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it still holds up as a horror movie, despite kind of it losing some of its, not aging super well. I think the music and just the whole point of view kind of makes it still hold up as
mm-hmm.
a pretty... I mean, rewatching the first Nightmare on Elm Street still has good moments, especially a young Johnny Depp being in that movie.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But
Freddy's for all 13th. Of us older guys that couldn't stand Johnny Depp, watching him become shredded confetti was
yeah.
like, yes, you, out!
But, yeah, rewatching the first Friday the 13th, it just has no ground to stand on. I think Halloween might have been the best out of those first initial trios.
Well,
I
think with Halloween, kind of like with the music, it's just so iconic, like you said, and like your dad said, like, when it's Halloween time, what do most people play, like, music of? It's the Halloween theme
mm-hmm.
song, and I think that makes it so much more iconic than the other three that you mentioned, or other two that you mentioned, just because it kind of has that theme song with it that, like, you hear it and you know what it's from automatically.
It's also a super simple piano piece
oh,
to
yeah.
play too, so there's a lot of recreation there, which kind of boosts its cultural phenomena.
Yep, and you had a good director behind it.
Yeah,
John Carpenter.
Also did The Thing,
which
is another fantastic horror movie.
Right, I mean, yeah, he did those other movies. Friday 13th, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Wes
Craven, well,
Wes
Craven.
Yeah, he's certainly a pretty renowned director as well.
Right, but John Carpenter made different movies in other genres that were quality, so
yep.
he brought a little bit of quality directing to this movie.
Yeah, this
to
is,
add to the horror.
This movie has really good acting, too, which is something you don't see in a lot of these 70s horror movies. Especially when the genre became kind of saturated, or oversaturated. The quality of acting started to go... But John Carpenter brought out some pretty good performances. And it's arguably a feminist film, too, you know? Jamie Lee Curtis is fighting the bad guy.
Does she win in the end?
No, she doesn't.
Oh.
Yeah, she dies in the... Well, depends what you consider canon, because she dies in the one.
Well, they retconned all that
for
the new one.
Well, I don't know what happened in the new one, so I can't...
No spoilers, because it did actually come out fairly recently. But I recommend it. It's a fun horror movie if you don't mind mental illness
yeah.
in 2018 kind of being like, oh, psychos are bad.
Well, he's a serial killer. He killed his
yeah.
family when he was a kid. Like, it's not just like a mental illness.
Well, yeah,
like
they're all... There's a scene where they're at like the mental hospital? Is that like the...
Psychiatric hospital.
And there's like all the other patients and he's like, we should lock them up forever. It's just not him. It's like other people there too.
Oh.
Just comes off as like, it's 2018. Who wrote this? Anyway, my transgressions of the movie can be aired elsewhere.
Right. Well, and another thing about Halloween, it's got every one of the victims doesn't deserve what they're getting. Like, you look
yeah.
at Friday 13th, technically, those kids deserve to die because the original campers let the kid drown and then
right.
they're having sex, so they deserve to die for that. But in this case, it's an innocent girl babysitting.
Yeah, just doing like the total normal
and this
70s.
Completely unstoppable horror is chasing her, so it's a little bit extra
scary.
She's
very likable too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's very cool. There's no like dumb jocks or stuff. There's just like normal, likable girl next door, Jamie Lee Curtis, up against totally not likable kind of internet boy troll next door, or Michael Myers.
Did he live next door?
No, no. They were siblings.
I was just making a joke. Yeah,
oh, they were?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's the only one in the family he didn't kill.
Yeah, that's why he's...
That's why he's after her, because she was a baby.
Yeah.
He's trying to finish the job.
He's finishing it off.
Yeah.
The new movie, it's cool. She's, like, hyper-militarized.
Yeah. I would say the new one would be a feminist film, just because she's very, like, a strong, powerful woman. Like,
yeah.
She's ready. Like, she's not like, I need help. Like, she's taking care of herself.
Right, right.
Yep.
Huh.
And Kitty from Arrested Development's in it.
Yes.
Which is
yep.
very cool. I like that actress a lot. All right, but that's all I have to say. Do we want to go to Max or Dadmeister?
Go to Max.
All right, Ben, I have a question for you. Do you remember when we saw the second Unfriended movie?
Boy, do I ever.
And we turned it off because we actually felt bad because it was a bunch of kids who were framed for the dark web stuff.
Yeah, they killed all the likable characters.
So my two movies are going to be plot points in the movie because I don't really get freaked out by lighting or jump scares or music or a lot in movies.
At Ben next
yeah.
time.
Actually, everything.
Mostly jump scare part at Ben, but... I don't get scared by a lot of movies, but one of the things I was terrified about this movie was the alternate ending. And this is one of three alternate endings.
They really couldn't decide.
And
they
couldn't
decide.
This is for Unfriended 2.
This is for
Unfriended
Dark Web.
Dark Web.
Spoilers.
It's not good.
In the second ending, our main character gets buried alive. And one of my biggest fears is being buried alive.
We should preface this, by the way. So, Unfriended 2, you want to explain the Unfriended series?
Yeah, Unfriended, like, the series, or...?
Well, yeah, because...
They all take place...
Have you guys heard or seen anything about Unfriended?
Okay.
I know
I heard something about it.
So, Unfriended all takes place, like, a screen share on a computer.
It's all over
Skype.
It's
Skype,
yeah.
So, I found footage.
Which sounds like an amazing idea for a horror movie, and then you watch
it. The first one was a flop. It fell apart easily. Because
made a lot of money, though.
I know, but it was super boring. They had, like, really slow moments where you didn't want to see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was uninteresting, because it was a demon coming alive. But the second one, they hyped it up by doing something that could be a real-life consequences. You steal a laptop that is being tracked by, like, a group from the dark web. And they're coming to kill you and your friends to frame you
mm-hmm.
for what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Very unlikely, but still a possibility.
So in the first one, the demon is because this girl at their school committed suicide because
mm-hmm.
she was, like, being bullied.
And they all
and they
took
all,
part of it.
They all were a part of the bullying ring.
Okay.
They all shared the video of her killing herself and the video of her trashed at the party that made her kill herself. So they all deserved what came to them. Now in the second one, these are kids that are like, oh my god, I just got accepted in my dream college. Oh, I'm in love with my girlfriend. Oh, I just cannot wait to... Like, oh, I just did this for this community.
We're really nice
They're
to
just
each
really
other.
Great high school students
and
that are, like...
And one of them steals a computer.
And one of them steals a computer that's... Okay, if it was a computer that's been there for 5 minutes, yes, bad. But it was sitting in his lost and found at his job for 3 months. At some point, when is it okay to take it?
So, the whole point was they... I read the whole synopsis of this after we turned it off, because
mm-hmm.
you know how I do with not finishing things. It was planned that he would take it, so they could frame all of the bad stuff they did on this group of kids who were super likable.
Oh,
just, but the alternate ending is when he texts his deaf girlfriend saying, hey, I'm buried alive, but the group of people alter the text so it says something different. And he calls her, and they pixelate his mouth so she can't read his lips, and she ignores his call. And he, like, dies slowly as he runs out of
yeah.
air.
He's just trying to get back with, like, his deaf girlfriend who
Who's
he
been
adores.
Threatened the whole movie,
who,
by
like,
the way.
Who, like, someone's in her apartment stalking her. I gave this movie a negative score because you can't make these characters so likable and then just have their worlds collide and make
yeah.
me watch it. That's not enjoyable. That just makes me sad.
No,
I didn't come here to be sad.
It's not even that. It's just the idea of being buried alive freaks
yeah.
me out.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not
yep.
how I want to go. I told you if I die, I want to be like be planted with a tree seed or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get cremated and then
yeah.
yeah.
your ashes.
So that way,
too.
If like somehow I was still alive, at least I won't like die slowly, painfully.
Just have a bunch of squirrels crap all over you.
Yeah, okay, totally out. Where do squirrels poop? Like, has anyone ever asked
everywhere.
This?
Everywhere.
I've never
everywhere.
Seen squirrel poop.
Okay.
Have you seen squirrel poop?
Well, I don't go looking for animals.
But you should have to. That's my point.
I think they're pretty secretive because that's a really vulnerable position.
The deer just do it right in the backyard.
Yeah, well, they're a little
they
bigger than
care.
Squirrels.
Yeah.
Owl's not going to come down and
do
pick a deer up.
There you go. Wait, I'm looking it up.
She's having private time.
She's like
times.
Hunched over.
She's waving.
I'm looking it up.
Are you looking up squirrel poop?
I'm looking at where they poop.
How did we even get there?
I'm trying.
I mean, really.
The gut, wait, what?
This is something that usually happens on this podcast.
Well, how
wait.
Do they even poop? Do they drop pellets? Because then you would
they
never know.
They have to
because
they're rodents,
yeah, they're
right?
rodents,
yeah,
so
they just... They just go by the rodents.
Well, yeah,
that's what I said. They just go as
now,
their...
birds and
everything. Like bunnies.
You see a big white
yeah.
thing headed right
bunnies
to your head from above.
Yeah, but Rosa, like... When Rosa poops, our hamster, like, you see that.
But she's also pooping in not grass
oh,
and dirt.
Yeah.
So
no,
like,
they're super small.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
they're roughly 5 millimeters.
That's pretty small.
So they're constantly pooping.
So
they
can be pooping anywhere,
just, yeah.
and you just don't see it.
Well, that's what most rodents do. Like, Rosa, when she runs around, she doesn't even stop to poop. She just kind of,
yeah,
goes.
Yep.
Back to the question at hand.
Yeah.
What I think is a dilemma in horror movies, do you think that if you're going to kill off the characters, you should still try and make them likable, or if making them likable, like, kind of makes... Then there's you. Because I feel like if you make your characters likable and then they all get slaughtered, there's no big payoff.
Wait, no, go ahead,
Max.
No, Max, it's your movie, so you go first.
Okay. For a movie that does something like that, Cabin in the Woods, I just want to bring that up real quick. Because the characters are super likable, but also I enjoyed watching everything happen because they had things like,
well,
you know,
like
at some points they weren't likable.
Yeah.
But they were still super nice to each other and friends and stuff. It was just like, you know, the correct amount of likableness. It's not like, hey, I decided to donate my kidney to the stranger I met on the bus likable. It's more
yeah.
of a, hey... You guys want to go camping?
Who wrote that?
Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon?
I think he wrote...
Yeah,
think
that's
he
what
wrote.
I thought.
He wrote that
yeah.
with somebody else.
I really like that movie, if you couldn't tell.
I like Joss
I've never
Whedon,
seen
but...
it.
What?
Well, my dad said it was one of the worst horror movies he's ever seen in his life.
Oh, these guys have watched it
a
bunch of times.
Yeah,
it's like a comedy,
he's
like
a
comedy
again
but
again.
It's like mixed with the...
I mean, there's, like, horror
that,
moments,
wait, that's
but
the, that's
the
one where...
The woman who played the little girl in Case 39 plays another villain in Cabin in the Woods.
Of course she does. That's
but
the
without a speaking role.
Where the house isn't really haunted, it's, like, being controlled, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
My dad
said that was the worst film he's ever seen.
It was actually
that,
pretty good.
Was that, like, Channing Tatum? No, that was the guy who played Thor's
yeah.
first big movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's hilarious in that. He just plays a dump jock.
Nice.
So
but he wasn't dumb
I don't think that was
like...
his first movie.
That was his first
one
big
of his earlier
movie.
Movies.
There were like
he got famous. They made the movie, then he got famous. So he made the movie while he was still Joe Blow.
The movie
actor.
Came out
okay.
in 2008, and Thor 1 was 2010.
Yeah,
was
but,
sort of
but it was made a couple years earlier.
Yeah.
He wasn't a dumb jock,
though.
The thing that happened was Chris he was sort of like,
yeah.
all right, everyone,
yeah,
we gotta do this.
He's really good at it.
And then the government put... some sort of spray in the house that made him want to split up or
yeah,
something?
The government... I mean, like, it's kind of like Evil Dead. The government has monsters. They go to the basement, and depending on what thing they come up with first or what thing they
yeah.
interact with first,
yeah.
is a different monster.
Yeah, it's a
but
whole
I never
print.
Saw it because my parents were always like,
we should watch
this
it's
really
super
good.
Meta.
It's
meta horror with
yeah.
a lot
that's
of comedy and a lot of horror
like
thrown
it.
In.
Too much think for Ash Dad.
He loves Halloween, and he likes slasher films the best.
Yeah.
He's a simple man.
The ending is fabulous.
Yeah, the
though.
Ending is just so well written.
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah.
If anyone else had anything to say before we go to Ash.
Oh, it's my turn. Alright. Well, I'm going to pick the first horror movie that I ever saw because it was really scary, and B, it opened a subgenre in
I wonder
horror
what this
films.
One
and the movie is Wow, I just, my brain just totally lost it. Yeah, the Blair Witch Project, the first one.
Oh.
Not the reboot.
Not,
that scared
the reboot was, it scared you.
Yeah, it scared me a little.
Steve could barely drive
home. I saw it by myself.
Yeah.
Back when you thought it was real.
He was
at the indoor theater where now it's that Salad Works.
I'm so sad there was a...
He was scared to go down in the basement.
Yep.
I'm scared to go down in the basement on a normal.
Were you scared that you would have to, like, go stand in the corner?
Go stand in the corner, yeah.
All right, tell us your experience
so,
with it, Ashley.
What I think is so scary about it, and kind of what we've been alluding to, is it is a found footage film. So, like, you have this aspect of it where it's kind of real. It kind of comes off real. The way they shot it was they took three actors, they threw them into the woods, they gave them a little camera to use, and they said, we're going to do stuff to you, you just need to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so... A lot of the...
It's the original social experiment.
Literally, but a lot of the reactions that the actors have are raw and real because they don't know what's going to happen. Like, the famous scene where people are pushing on their tent, they had no idea that was going to happen.
Oh.
Like, it's kind of awful what they did to those kids, but...
They got money.
They got a lot of money. And then you have this, like, spurring of movements with films, both kind of, like, short films, like, No Through Road or more... famous films like Paranormal Activity where you have this, like, aspect of is it real or is it not real? And I think for a lot of people that's kind of scary if you don't know if something's real or not, because
mm-hmm.
then you kind of question it, and I think that's what makes movies like that so scary and
yeah.
why I like them so much.
That's a good
also,
point.
Didn't they put up missing posters for the actors, like, before the movie came out to make it, like, amp up?
Yeah, really and awesome. And the three actors that were in it were no-name actors at the time, so they just kind of were, like, out of view of the kind of... Because you're not having, like, Brad Pitt star in it,
yeah,
so...
They're
yeah,
they're just three college kids.
Yeah, and so they...
Or four.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, there's three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, this was a...
There was three.
Did they know this famous scene where Josh goes missing? Did they know they were going to take Josh out of the
yeah,
picture?
They did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm just making sure they didn't take one of their actor friends
script.
And went,
hey,
we're going
like, to
take
little...
you away and not tell these two.
No, I think that was...
You're making me remember another movie that I wasn't even going to talk about, but now I think I have to.
But they did a lot to make it seem real.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
The backstory.
And,
yeah.
and I think, kind of going back to what Max was talking about, like, with likable characters, is they were likable, but not too extreme, where
yeah.
that you were still interested in the story and not feeling like you were watching something, like, people being tortured. It was kind of more just like...
Yeah.
A horror film, I guess.
Well, viral marketing was, like... It's something that movies don't do too much today in the same kind of way, because the internet has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But also, a lot of what they did kind of also came from a movie called Cannibal Holocaust from, I guess, the 70s, right? But, in that movie, the director was actually arrested because they thought it was real, and he was arrested for, like... What was it, like, attempted murder or on murder charges?
Yeah.
And he had to be like, hey, guys, it's just a movie. None of this was real. But, yeah, it's banned in a bunch of countries because people thought it was real, and some of it is real, and a lot of it is... It's a messed up movie. It's not particularly good either.
No,
but
it's really gross.
It's a really, really
gross for
movie.
Gross sake.
Especially from the 70s when, like,
yeah.
foreign films were at their height of grossness.
How many times did you see it?
I have never seen that
uh-huh.
It's
I've
a cool,
seen stills from it.
Yeah. It's an interesting movie when it comes to, like, themes, because it's all about kind of, like, the rape of Mother Earth and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
But when you watch it, it's like, can I just read, like, an essay about this? I'll let the big brain movie enjoyer watch it for me and then make a YouTube video about it. I shouldn't watch it. But anyway, back to you. You have viral marketing school.
Yeah. But, I really like films like that. I really like The Blair Witch. Funny story, my dad actually tried to go to where they were in Blair, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
But because so many people were rushing to go look for these kids, they, like, closed down the area of woods that they were supposedly at.
Oh,
and, like,
wow.
All this stuff.
Did your dad think it was real?
Yeah.
Closing down the woods makes it seem more real. Honestly.
Yeah, like, because there was just such a flow of
yeah.
people in this small
yeah.
little town in Maryland, it just was too much.
Well, did you think it was real? Did you think?
No, I knew it wasn't real, because I'd read some interviews with the directors.
Also, if you stay for
also,
the credits...
Also, it'd be a snuff
like,
film.
Yeah.
If you stay for the end, it said, like, none of this is real, I think, in the
right.
credits.
But the actors have certainly done their part to keep it real by not having any careers whatsoever.
Yeah.
the one guy's been doing movies as of late.
Yeah, and the girl, Heather Donahue, she's
Yeah,
crept along in and out.
She did some crappy horror movies.
She was in the reboot.
Yeah.
She was in the reboot, yeah.
Other funny story with this before we switch. They decided, Cartoon Network wanted to do, like a commercial for Scooby-Doo, and they played it all as the Blair, like, as if it were the Blair Witch.
Oh, fine.
And it was deemed as so scary for, like, kids that they had to take it off immediately.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
If you ever YouTube it, it's crazy, because it's kind of scary, but, like,
okay.
It's really good, but it's, like, kind of creepy. Like, you would never think Cartoon Network would
this movie was so influential that Animal Planet did a 3-season TV show called Lost Tapes, where it'd just be a bunch of schmucks trying to film different cryptids, and they'd all die in the end for something. But it was, was a wildly, wildly influential movie.
Well, there's that famous video of the guy in the Paris catacombs that went viral that I don't think ever would have.
No, yeah.
Without, like, found, this found footage.
VHS horror. So.
Yeah.
Alright.
Alright. Well, so I had a whole movie planned out. And it'll be my, if we get a second movie, it'll be my second movie, but you, I don't remember what you just said, Ash, that made me think of this, but this movie scared the hell out of me for the longest time, War of the Worlds.
Oh, I love that movie.
Tom Cruise.
That, I was terrified, and then the night we saw it, on the, like, when we got home or something, we had a babysitter. You could, this was 2005.
Right,
so
I was, like, 7.
You guys were little, and you were in bed, and your dad, like, snuck up behind me and made that, like, really loud. I just, like, fell on the floor. Oh, my God. That movie still, to this day, frightens me. Just because I think, even though your father says it's impossible, I don't think this is impossible.
Well, War of the Worlds or aliens?
Aliens. And I don't think anybody's going to travel that distance to just come and be nice, especially if they know what's going on down here.
Well, to come and duke it out with the robot artificial intelligence, it takes a
long time.
I
am a little more afraid.
It might be really entertaining. I might be kind of the best future.
Robots versus aliens.
Yeah, I tried to do a movie.
I just thought this movie was so well done by Señor Spielberg.
Was that a Steven Spielberg?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and the cinematography was out of this world, but just, like, the idea of there being nowhere to escape to. Nowhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
That you just can't get anywhere.
Couldn't they, like, track them or something, too? Like, I remember they were, like, hiding in a house or something.
They were in a basement.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they couldn't track you, but there was just...
nowhere to go.
There was nowhere to hide unless you go underground.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Terrifying.
How did that movie end?
Same way the original ends.
No, they end?
The aliens are defeated?
No. Nobody defeats them. The viruses kill them.
Which was, I think, super realistic.
That was the other piece.
Well,
it's
the H.G. Wells ending, too.
That stuff.
And then, in this case, Morgan Freeman comes in with a speech saying the microbes killed them, and we fought our, 3 billion year fight against the life on Earth for 3 billion years to beat viruses.
Mm-hmm.
We earned our survival.
Yes.
Always Morgan Freeman.
I mean, humans
have
done that in the past to each other. Like.
Yeah, well, this whole movie is kind of the reverse Columbus effect. For once, the foreigners come over and get socked.
It's true. Yeah.
Sort of the whole Native Americans thing.
Yeah.
The invaders from another land come in. In that case, didn't work out so well.
No, they got zoinked.
But that's right. The viruses were on the invader side then.
Yeah.
With smallpox. There you go.
Creepy movie, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So am I out?
Yep, you're up. Right.
Well, needless to say, anybody who knows me is going to know what movie I'm going to pick. I'm going to go with The Exorcist, of course.
Oh!
Yeah.
All right. But,
hey, Dad.
What?
Your hair is...
sticking straight
That's
up.
That's great.
It's terrifying. But I'm not going to go with the obvious things that would be scare the you know, the special effects, the grossness, the head spinning around.
Crawling on the walls.
Crawling on the walls.
I can't tell you the part where she just pees herself, like, in front of everybody.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of what I'm going to go with. The scariest part about that is it's so well done that it's a slow, on several fronts, it's a slow, and there's spoilers, because if you haven't seen it by now, forget about it.
It's like 72, right?
It's
like,
slow when it starts. It's out in the world. They're shooting a big movie scene in Washington, D.C. So the whole world starts earlier than that with the exorcist guy over in another part of the country, or the world.
Yeah.
And you get a slow convergence until the final little bit, which is just God against the devil inside of the final priest's soul.
Mm-hmm.
So for 2 hours, you build from the whole world just slowly moving in, and it never stops. And along the way, also, there's never any kind of thing. Well, if you knew what was happening, you say, "Oh, it's going to be the devil." But if you didn't, you wouldn't believe it was the devil possessing until the characters on the screen realize that too. Because at first, it looks like she might be disturbed. There's a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
All the things that normal parents, you go, "Oh, she's just a disturbed little kid that's, you know, coming out with the peeing on the floor." But then they take her for the MRIs or the CTs, and that's horrifying too, because it's really loud, 1970 CTs.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the spinal taps, so that's hard, but it's still natural horror. And it keeps creeping in. It gets closer and closer, because now we're just in the city and the doctor. And then it starts creeping in until it's just the house. And more bad things happen, and they bring... And at the same time, the priest, he's got his own problems, but the realest problems with his mom. And his mother's far away, and he doesn't get to see her, and she lives with rats and cockroaches. Man, she dies, so there's all this family drama. So everything is normal, non-paranormal drama and horror, and they build in it. And then it starts in the house, and everything is in the house. Then it builds up until everything's in the room. And then finally the one priest dies, and it's just on the bed with the girl, well, the devil and the girl and the younger priest, and they're just duking it out. And then finally it's in his head once the devil switches to his head.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a fight there, and then he wins, not the devil, the priest, and he goes out the window, and that's the end of the movie. So it's a straight, just build up.
Who goes out
right,
the window?
The younger priest.
Does he die?
Yeah.
He convinces the devil to come out of the girl and come into him. And the devil, well, the demon does. So you see his eyes turn green, his features change. He starts to choke the little girl, but then he dukes it out inside and gets his body back and jumps out the window.
So that he kills the devil,
yeah,
too?
Well, or devil takes off.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's
especially
really, really
when you're 8 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole point is that, you know, the horror becomes more and more primal and more closed in, and there are less and less people. And it's just a steady build-up. So that's why that movie's extra horrifying.
So his mom took him when he was 8.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary, too, you know?
And it's got the music kind of like...
Yeah.
Like
iconic.
What an iconic movie poster, too. Just the,
oh, right.
the street lamp, and he's looking up at the house.
And that's near the end of the movie. That's maybe an hour and a half into the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Super iconic poster.
Fun fact about that movie, too. It's one of the first movies to have using, like, a moving camera without, like, someone moving physically, but having something set up so that they can just do, like, a full, like, smooth slide with it.
Oh.
Which is really interesting. They, like, were the first to build something like that.
Huh.
Because now you have movies where they build tracks and they can
yes.
just drive all
yeah.
along back and forth on that. But,
yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Definitely helped.
Have you... You've never watched the whole way through.
No.
So you read about it.
Yeah. Not all. Yeah, I've seen the whole movie, but never from
that's,
beginning to end
yeah,
in one sitting.
That's how terrifying, huh?
Well, you know.
Bad memories.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
at the
yeah.
time I thought, oh, could I become possessed because I was an 8-year-old?
Yeah.
And I got in and checked it out. It's like, you have to have faith. If you believe, you're in trouble. If you don't believe, you're fine.
Also,
this, that.
Wasn't she playing with a Ouija board or something?
Captain Howdy.
Yeah.
That's what the Ouija board is called.
Yeah, so you don't have
she
a Ouija
was
board.
Asking for it.
There you go.
Right.
This is how we learn things.
But that's why you two never had that board in the... Never.
Used it
one of my.
You used a fake one.
Remember?
We used a handmade, a homemade one.
Remember that kid from school, Maddie, who came to our house once?
Yes.
She was upstairs with me while we were talking, and she's like, I was thinking about bringing my Ouija board here, and I was like, no!
It's made by the same people who make Monopoly.
I know, but
they bought the rights from the old voodoo spirits.
Now that, like, I feel like I want to use one once, not here because Mom would kill me, but, like...
What? They're not all...
Fun fact about Ouija boards.
Okay.
So, they're actually, if I have my sources right, they're used in ancient China. It was, again, a way to talk to the dead. It's an ancient, like, tradition that they were like, let's not do this anymore. And the people that have it now that make board games, Mattel, I think?
Parker Brothers.
Yeah. They saw it there, and they're like, oh, let's just make this into a fun board, like a board game for kids, and we could profit off of it. So it's actually ancient roots. Yeah. It's not just some board game.
I used to handmade one at a radio show. It was like Halloween,
right? It was
right?
So junky. It was a poster board.
Yeah, it was like a poster board. But I put the spinner on the pentagram on the board, and one of the girls in there started yelling at me. She's like, you can't do that! We're all dead! And here I am, 2 years later. Maybe I was cursed with the burden of running a podcast. Yeah. That's how the devil's getting back at me.
Or it's coming for you in a form you don't know.
Violet.
Well, I was going to say me, but okay. Uh-oh. That's all what right. I was thinking at.
All right.
So one more round?
Yeah.
Round one
for my second movie. This isn't like a technical horror movie, but Schindler's List is pretty... There's a scene in the ghetto where the Nazis are rounding up the Jews.
Yeah, it's the liquefaction.
Yeah, and what I find... I've seen the movie, but I watched it again for my philosophy class. And what I think super interesting about this scene is you don't have a clear sense of direction of what part of the ghetto they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because, like, the geometry and the geography of the ghetto doesn't make a lot of viewing sense, but also it jumps around to different parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's this overwhelming sense of, like, hopelessness as people are being shot and rounded up and thrown. And we keep jumping to other people who are being shot and rounded up. And we keep jumping around. It's, like, it feels so much bigger than it probably was, but... I always like the idea in movies that, like, if you can't get a good grasp on the geography of the scene, then, like, that's the director's intention. Like, there's not supposed to be a clear geometric scale. Like, an Alien, too. Like, part of the horror is you're confused about the layout of the ship because it's so many different places and the alien's always following you.
And The Shining as well.
Yeah, and then in The Shining, Stanley Kubrick made this purposeful, but the hallways never actually make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Danny's riding the tricycle and he makes a turn,
mm-hmm.
he's supposed to just run right back into the kitchen, but there's another full-length hallway there.
Mm-hmm.
But in Schindler's List, like, characters run from point A to point B, but they shouldn't be able to get there just because of how things are set up. And I feel like Steven Spielberg's too good of a director for this to not be intentional.
Mm.
I think he was going for, like, a sense of hopelessness. But it's, like, a really very, very upsetting and, like, it's a hard scene to watch more than once.
Yeah.
That's a hard movie to watch more
than
once.
That whole movie is a hard movie to watch.
Nice black and white, too. Black and white really helps as well.
He did that because he said when you think of, like, that time period during then, you think of it in black and white.
Yeah.
So that, and the only time he ever uses color is for the red dress and the little girl. No, blood's never, it's always black.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a cool movie.
But it's
till the end, maybe. The very end.
Yeah, the very, very, very end.
But Spielberg does this kind of stuff with a ton of movies he does. I was just thinking of another movie that he directed. Saving Private Ryan, the D-Day scene.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense from, like, a geographic point of view, because,
mm-hmm.
You can find the way out of the beach. But he's very good at causing, like, chaos on screen and making things very disorienting. And, you know, both these things are based off real... historical events that probably would be
I think that's what I was going to say is the terrifying part of it, because even like in X-Men when Magneto's a kid,
mm-hmm.
and he's being ripped from his mother's arms and he's watching his mom get shot, and like my generation anyway, well my generation grew up with the people who survived or didn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandparents, half the family didn't make it, half the family was here, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think is what's so terrifying when you watch it, is that going on around the world today.
Yeah, still.
Right.
Right.
There's children dying in refugee camps, and there's this is going on, there's wars going on all over the world, and it's terrifying what human beings can do to each other.
Yeah, there's no, like, great evil in this movie. There's, like, no horrifying, supernatural, demonic... That's what I mean.
Right,
yeah.
It's human.
It's just a person with a gun. It's people with guns and people with just mindsets, and that's it.
But he still makes the horror come through.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, the horror through... You know, I knew what happened, so I'm all along watching the movie. It's like, yeah, that happened. But then the scene comes when they're unloading at Auschwitz, whichever actual one it was, and it starts to snow. I'm like, oh, it's snowing. And then everybody looks up and realize it ain't snow. And that's something I'd never seen in a movie before. So it's like, oh, okay,
yeah.
This is new to me.
It's very, very brutally. It's just in your face. It's a great film. Steven Spielberg comes through.
He can tell a story.
About that film, a lot of the scenes, like the liquidation scene, were prolonged after they were shot because they wanted it to be almost unwatchable.
Right, yeah, that's another that adds to the chaos of it.
Yeah.
There's just, like, repeated shots as well. He keeps going back to this, like, kind of sky camera of the whole ghetto and just people moving through it.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, it feels like you're watching a historical event through time.
You are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what was happening. Everything you saw is what happened.
Yeah. Well, that is a fun fact, the beginning of a fun fact I think I told you guys already. But Schindler's List was the reward Spielberg got for making Jurassic Park.
Right.
They said, right, you made this Jurassic Park, we'll let you make your Schindler's List.
Yeah.
So he's shooting Schindler's List in Eastern Europe during the day, but then at night he's got to go to his hotel room and get on the computer, the phone, and supervise the dinosaurs,
yeah,
and the dinosaur special effects.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it drove him nuts to go from here to
a
completely
different mindset.
Yeah, that had to have messed with him emotionally.
That's what he said a little bit. That was not easy.
Yeah, no, I would imagine it wouldn't have been easy.
But then again, it might have actually helped.
That's true. That's a really
you'd
good
just
point.
Be like,
you have to like unwind somehow.
Even if it's work and it's dinosaurs and colors, yeah. Right?
I was wondering why the director's got a Jurassic Park. The T-Rex had a Nazi armband, but I guess it all makes sense.
I'm so glad you brought up Jurassic Park, because while I was searching for movies, besides the one I'm going to say next, I was looking at horror movies, and I came across a page of like animal horror movies.
Jurassic
and for some
Park
reason,
movie?
Jurassic Park isn't in there, but Birdemic is. Like,
Birdemic
Park.
No.
But we have other stuff like The Shallows in there. I feel like Jurassic Park earns its place there.
Jurassic Park at its core is a kids movie.
No, it's also a horror movie. Imagine just having dinosaurs come and eat you.
I think the first one's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Like, see,
well,
I feel like
the third
animal
one
horror
is pretty
movie.
Scary.
You know, I would argue the first one is the most kind of family fantasy.
Yeah, the first one.
They
yeah.
had a page for dinosaurs, but Jurassic Park wasn't on there.
I think the third one is easily the scariest because it's just people getting like torn apart.
I've
that's
never
the one
seen
that
the
Spielberg
third one.
Didn't do.
Yeah,
he did the first two.
The first two, you know, like the kids like kind of always save the day, even if it's Lex on the computer locking on the velociraptors or.
But the part where they're in the like kitchen
hiding
is
so scary.
Right, but they outsmart the dinosaurs, which the adults can't do, which was why I think it's like a kids movie, because the kids come out as like
that's a bad point.
The heroes that really don't make any fault.
I also want to bring up that while I was working at my summer camp, any kid I talked to could tell me every dinosaur name, but if you ask an adult, I don't think they can tell you. It's because kids research this stuff.
Did Jurassic Park make dinosaurs popular?
No, dinosaurs were always popular.
Kids like dinosaurs.
I don't know about huge death reptiles makes kids go insane.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stick to my like sea urchin craze. I like ectoderms.
Was Ben a dinosaur kid?
Ooh.
No, I was a dinosaur
kid.
I was an animal kid.
I was a dinosaur kid and a bug kid.
How about more animal movies?
We did have that big dinosaur sticker book. We had a lot of sticker books.
We had animal sticker books too. How about more animal movies?
I'll tell you what. Dinosaurs are cool, but have you ever like looked into the age after the dinosaurs, before modern humans? When you had giant sloths the size of like a house? That's cool.
My favorite part of those movies.
That's really cool.
My favorite part of those movies is where you had the giant centipede fighting something.
Yeah.
I just I love bugs.
What were those?
So much.
You still have them.
Walking with Priya.
Yeah,
one,
Walking with Priya.
See, that was the Carboniferous.
Can we rewatch them? Because
yeah.
I love the bugs.
Yeah.
That's the Carboniferous. So that's before the dinosaurs.
So
that's
before,
when the arthropods ruled the earth.
Yeah.
There was
had spiders the size of Violet.
Yeah, we've got that.
I would want 12.
We also have
bus.
The one after the dinosaurs with the giant, not ostriches, but giant
birds. Yeah.
I don't care about those. I only care about the bugs.
Well, it's the age of man.
Humans took advantage of the dodo bird. They were stupid and they wanted friends.
All right. Moving along.
Okay,
yeah,
so
right.
Now actually for my movie. All right. Once again, I don't get scared by movies easily. I saw Hereditary with Ben and Ashley and I didn't flinch at all. I am unfazed by movies, but there's one movie I can't watch. I've never seen it. I've read the book. I've read the graphic novel. Those are enough for me. Let me do my monologue.
Okay.
I can't watch
movie?
The Ring.
Which
The Ring.
It's I've heard it's a bad movie. Like,
no, it's
no,
a great
it's
movie.
It's a great
movie.
I've heard it the reboots are
no,
bad.
No, Ringu is a good movie. The American version is trash.
Either way, I can't watch any of them because the idea of a cursed videotape freaks me out to the point
good
where
thing there's
no
more videos.
No.
She
no,
got
but like, to the point where, like, if I'm sitting alone in a room and the
now
TV's off,
video.
I'm so scared the TV's going to turn itself on.
Really?
It is creepy.
One of my biggest fears is
really?
Sitting.
Oh.
Steve, this is why I'm so glad I've never had a TV in my room. Like, it's just
yeah.
No static also freaks me out. Like it's to the point where. I'll be sitting in the den upstairs
so
with the TV off, and I'll just be keep glancing up like...
If we roll one in.
Or we set it on a timer.
I would kill myself before anything could happen. When I bought the graphic novel, since it's a graphic novel, I tried to avoid the pages of the cursed tape.
Oh, wow.
Because I was so scared if I read them in order or looked at all of them, I was going to get a phone call or anything saying...
This movie had so much power over a young me that when I watched the video on YouTube, I thought I was going to die.
What video?
I think I'm going to die.
Just like the someone uploaded the clip of the video
game
onto YouTube.
Well, it's in the movie. So
from everybody. Yeah, so everybody's seen it. I thought I was going to die.
Yes. I know the rule that you have to make a copy of it now, but my biggest fear is everyone's seen this movie before I did, so I can't watch it anymore, because what if I'm the last one to see the copy? I'm going to die.
So, how old were you when you saw it?
I've never seen it. I saw the new one, Rings, which is terrible.
Well, there's the new one. I don't know if this is Rings, where it's not a VHS anymore.
No, that's
the
one.
It's like a link on your computer.
It's like an internet virus.
Okay.
Which would never work.
I do want to say, after I heard about the plot, I had a nightmare where if you asked someone a question, they would come to kill you. And I, being myself, asked them the question. And then they tried to kill me. And I woke up right when they killed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most terrifying experience to the point where I, like, kept a bunch of lights on sometimes because I was so scared that Dream Me messed with someone.
Dream Me.
It's a terrifying movie. Have you seen it?
No. You know I don't watch those movies.
It's a good
it's
movie.
It is good.
So scared that
I
it's
got
real.
Talked into seeing The Omen, and I saw that in the movie theater when it first came out, and I will never, ever, ever.
Oh.
Although these two made me watch Cabin on the Hill.
Which was
but,
hilarious.
But I made them watch it.
Cabin
the
in
sound,
the Woods.
I mean, Cabin in the Woods, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're mixing The Haunted Out, or...
Haunted...
House on
Haunted
Hill.
Yeah.
I did see that.
See, I thought you were talking about The Grudge.
No,
which
that,
is the other, like,
see,
90s
I can't watch
Japanese
that
movie.
If we were doing a third one, that would also
waves.
Be it, because I can't watch that. It's something about, like...
Japanese horror?
No, I'm okay with most Japanese horror. It's just, like... Demon girls.
Well, fun fact about The Ring is when she's doing that crawl out of the TV, and she speeds up, the way they did that is they filmed her doing normally, and then the editor cut out the frames...
Cut.
Where so it make looks like she jumps, but in reality
it's just
cut
missing
frames.
Frames.
Yeah, she's doing
yeah.
Crawl.
What do you
yeah.
mean cut frames?
Like so they filmed her doing the normal crawl all the way to the carrot, but in post in production, they cut out those frames so it looks
like
she jumps
ahead.
Every
other frame.
Didn't.
So instead of it being like a smooth movement,
yeah,
like in a Caper song where the voice is broken up, you know, she probably just sang that, but then she just
cut it
out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like,
yeah.
It's very clever.
Was it the American version that the person who played Sadako was actually the voice of Lilo and Stitch also.
I have no idea.
Because that's the only thing that almost made me watch the movie and tempted me to read the book, is because I was like, oh.
She's Lilo and
okay,
Stitch.
Okay, she's Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, so it's okay.
But it's not okay to watch it for me for some
reason.
Well,
who do you root for in the ring, too? That's tough. Because the whole promise...
Did you
they,
see it?
Yeah, the whole problem is they throw the girl down the well, but she's evil to begin with.
No,
right?
Yeah, see, she's...
Now, she's evil before, that's why they throw her down the well. It's not just like bad foster parents, it's like, oh, this girl's evil, she's gotta go.
I remember in the graphic novel, the story was her mom did a show, and everyone turned against her mother saying it was a fraud, and so she killed someone because her mom was being surrounded by a crowd. And then they threw her down a well.
Well, it's not in the movie. It's because she's evil. And they even have a scene in the American one where they have a recording
interviewing her, and
she's
like, I like killing people.
Yeah. I want to hurt more people.
Down the well you go. At some point, you got to ask, is it her fault? Really?
But, like, then also, like,
what was the videotape of?
It's of, like, different
things. It's just,
like,
just creepy things. It doesn't even really make
sense. How does it relate to the girl in the well?
It's like,
well, she had a VCR down at the bottom of the well.
She recorded it, you know?
She had a lot of time
to hold her stuff, the images that don't make sense together, but once you find out the story, like the actual ring is a look up of the cover closing in the well. So the ring of
the light
before
really
it closes.
Creepy.
Okay.
And so it's just stuff that you find out piece by piece. And then just some other unpleasant stuff just to make it spooky.
Yeah, but how did the videotape get involved?
Well, that's
again, graphic novel, that's the only thing I can handle.
She might have been in some kind of
low-tech
class.
She was psychic. She was psychic. And the well was
willed into existence.
The well was buried under a cabin later on in life with a TV and a VCR. And this kid came across on vacation and tried to record his favorite cartoons, but, you know, different channels in different parts of the country, so it was just static. So her spirit recorded all of this into a tape, and if you watch it, you're gonna die.
Right.
7 days, unless you pass it on.
First,
the
wasn't
worst
in the movie, though.
Things
no.
ever is
yes.
when they try to, like, fix the curse and get her out of the well, that apparently makes her worse.
Was that in the movie, too, or was that in the graphic novel?
That was in the movie. It wasn't in the graphic novel.
The graphic novel is a lot of hoo-ha.
No, the graphic novel didn't end with her getting worse. It just ended with, yeah, no, you gotta keep up the thing of making copies. And then, you know, the main woman kills her father to save her son.
Mm-hmm. But, you think that it works in the movie because she does the stuff she's supposed to save the girl's soul, but it doesn't really work. It only got delayed because she did something else and didn't realize it.
Yeah, that's what happened in the graphic novel too. But then I think in another reboot,
it's different.
But nonetheless,
you can only go off what the first movie.
True,
I'm
actually
movie.
Kind of freaked out talking about it, and I feel very uneasy with the TV right here. It's making me very nervous.
I hope it doesn't turn on.
Yeah, it'd be kind of creepy.
No,
it was. It was turning on and turning off by itself earlier.
That's because you clicked it twice.
Please don't do that.
Well, that's a long time archetype of Japanese movies, isn't it? Or Japanese horror, the thin girl who's really pissed off.
Yeah, it's an evil girl.
Isn't she from a folklore? Like that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of design.
Because they had
yeah.
the thing with the veil. That's a famous Japanese
yeah.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, she's got the Chelsea smile
yeah.
and all the teeth, and you have to. A lot of cool Japanese,
I do want to ask a question. Like, my phone's constantly on Do Not Disturb, and I know she calls you to say 7 days. You'd think I would miss the call.
See, that's what I thought.
You miss the call.
Because, my phone's always on Do Not Disturb, and
yeah, well,
Mom,
who's
going to
answer
it
now with junk calls? You
yeah,
just don't
you
pick
just
up.
You just decline it. What
yeah,
should
you
do then?
You can, adhere to this, that I never pick up my phone because I never get any calls because it's always
right.
on Do Not Disturb.
Right.
So what if she just calls me and leaves a message going, hey, so 7 days.
7 days.
Call back when you can.
Well, yeah. Well, if you wanted that, 2007 movie One Missed Call certainly can
no,
wet your whistle.
No, because in One Missed Call, what happens is they take the batteries out of their phone. The
movie's trash.
And then the
garbage.
Phone still works somehow, so that's even more scary, because I don't feel like getting calls right now.
The jingle
of
it used to scare me.
It's garbage.
Never
Wait,
saw the movie, though.
No, what if you don't pick up the phone? What's going
This
happen?
Is all good. This is all good discussion for another time.
All right, moving on.
Alright. Well, for my last movie, it's kind of hard because I've watched a lot of horror. I love horror movies. I used to hate them.
Oh, I know.
And now I really love them. I like really bad horror movies. I love all horror movies. But I decided I'm going to pick a more modern one. Max mentioned it earlier, but it's kind of one of the more modern ones that has recently come out last year?
Yeah. This year. If you're talking about what I think. Yeah, it's this year.
Oh, okay. That came out this year. That feels like a thousand years ago.
Top of the movie last year.
Yeah. In like 2 days or something.
It's weird, but Hereditary... one of the most, again, newer films that I've seen that has been actually scary. I feel like a problem with a lot of newer horror movies is that they depend on jump scares only.
Yep.
And I just don't think that's scary. Like, it's just kind of like, it forces you to be scared because it's like your natural reaction, but it's not like you're watching something horrifying, whereas with Hereditary, there's, especially with like the last 20 minutes of that film, it's like so deeply horrifying without being jump scary. It's just like,
like, from the point where...
Tell me what's horrifying. Sorry.
What do you... Like, what
in the
exactly
last 20 minutes. Yeah.
So...
From the point where his
dad...
Spoiler warning. From the point where
his father dies.
His father is burnt alive by his mom to the point where...
It was an accident.
The point where the brother falls out of the window and breaks his neck, and then his soul is absorbed.
All the way to the credit scenes.
Explain what happens. Like,
okay.
Can I tell mom how it was an accident room?
Sure.
She's trying to kill herself.
But...
She's trying to burn this book. So, it's called Hereditary because the grandma's part of this cult,
mm-hmm.
and she's, like, prepping the granddaughter to take her place when she dies,
mm-hmm.
but the granddaughter dies in a freak accident.
Mm-hmm.
So the grandmother... has to now transfer the soul to the brother through, like, this weird stuff.
It was intentional.
But,
She had the allergy attack, though.
Yeah,
we can talk about that later.
Yeah,
we'll talk
off mic about this.
So the rest of the movie, after the granddaughter dies, is just the brother trying to, like, his soul slowly being absorbed.
Can I explain the last 20 minutes, though?
Yes.
Because it's my film that I picked.
Yes.
So, kind of picking up where Ben left off, it's just kind of... Again, where the father is burned alive, the son, it gets hurt at school.
Yeah,
essentially,
like, breaks his own
nose and he knocks
himself
out because he's so, like, scared of whatever is possessing him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's knocked out for his father's death and for a bit of the film, but when he wakes up...
His mother losing it, too. Like,
she's, like, completely gone at
mm-hmm.
this point. And it starts off where he's walking around the house, and we as an audience know that, obviously, there's something wrong with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are these people on their property at this point, which are the other cult members. But he doesn't know that, so he's walking through the house. It's giving me goosebumps thinking about it. And what he doesn't know is she's following him, but she's climbing on the ceiling to follow him. And it's not, like, a natural movement.
Yeah,
it's
like The Exorcist. Her body's kind of, like, broken and distorted.
Right.
She's like,
and she moves
too
slow. It's like when you dream about, flying, but like swimming. It's like she's swimming in air. That's
right.
What it looks like.
Wow.
And it's really unsettling. And then from that point to when he figures out that, you know, like, something's going on, it just kind of, like, everything explodes. There's one point where he's hiding in the attic, and they've, like, one of those, like, attics where
mm-hmm.
you have to pull it down,
yep.
and you hear something banging on the like, cellar door. It's really funny because we saw it with Corey, and Corey's like, how is she even hitting up there? And here she's, like, floating in the, like, on the wall and just smacking her head against the door. And it's
very
just, like,
creepy.
It's so unsettling because it's so, like,
it's a movie
incorrect.
About,
like,
a,
you know, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It's a movie about familial values and familial roles at, like, its center.
Because they're the nuclear family. Like,
yeah.
You have the
mm-hmm.
older brother, the younger sister, and the mother and father figure, but...
They even have a dog.
And, yeah, they have a dog. All of it just falling apart until he becomes this, like, demon king that he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. The leader of, like, the seventh circle of hell, or the
mm-hmm.
third circle of hell.
The whole time, too, the daughter, who's the first to go,
mm-hmm.
is told, you were supposed to be a boy. Like, you were supposed to be born king... something.
Yeah.
The Demon King.
Mm-hmm.
You should watch it, honestly.
It's
no. Real. Mom should not watch
no.
that.
Mom's not watch it. Dad wants to, though.
It's,
no.
No, Dad doesn't
no.
want to watch it either.
But there's, like, scary scenes like that, and when the daughter dies accidentally because she has an allergic reaction. He's driving her to the hospital and her head collides with a pole. And
oh, you told me about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
it's
like,
just...
So that's, like, very forwardly out scary, but then there's a scene where there's this dream, and the mother's, like, standing over her son's bed with, like, a lighter fluid and a match, and she basically, like, not of her own volition, admits that she wanted to have an abortion, and just that back and forth is, like, very unsettling.
It's just
where
a very...
like, you wanted to kill me, and
it's... It's a very hard film, and the way that it's shot is so well done. Mm-hmm. I think it's A24 that did that film.
It's shot like a dollhouse.
And
for
it's...
a lot of it.
And it's just...
What do you mean, like a dollhouse?
It's like the room is like that, and the character's here, and the character's
oh,
here.
Okay.
It's very
like,
intrusive.
Yeah.
You're like,
okay.
It feels like you're looking into something.
Got it.
Toni Collette won an Oscar for her performance.
She was in that?
Yeah.
Toni Collette?
Yep.
Is she the mom?
Yep.
She
Toni Collette
fantastic.
Gave an Oscar.
She's a brilliant actress.
She's
yes.
a really good monologue when they're... It's not even a scary part, but they're like at the dinner table, and she just freaks out, and like...
Yeah, she gets possessed by the daughter, because they're using a Ouija board.
No, not that part. The part where they're sitting at the dinner table eating, and her,
oh, yeah,
she's
and
like...
The son is like being disrespectful.
Yeah, and he's... And she's like... She like pretty much blames him for like the death of the daughter, and like has... She just has this really long monologue, but the way that she
mm-hmm.
delivers it is so... It just... The film, like, just their relationships within the families feel so real, and I think that's what makes it kind of scary, because it's just such, like, a real...
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, can you just tell me what happens at the very, very
he
end?
He becomes the Demon King.
Yeah,
becomes...
Oh,
he,
the mom
gets...
cuts her own head off.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that part's really
wire
scary,
wire or something?
Yeah,
did
with a chicken wire or something?
Yeah.
But she cuts her own head off, and then he jumps out the window and breaks his neck.
To which
then,
kills him, but
which kills
allows...
Him,
the...
But the spirit takes its place, and then, like, kind of floats him up to the cab, the treehouse, and
well, there's a bunch
all
of
the servants,
headless bodies.
All the servants, headless servants, are in prayer to the Demon King.
As well as regular cult members.
It's terrifying, because, like,
and then,
mm-hmm.
there's
oh,
this
the
booming
final
voice
shot.
Coming out of the grandma, but
mm-hmm.
it's just a corpse.
With
the grandma's
no head.
Just a corpse with no head, but there's, like, this loud
creepy.
Voice.
And all then right. the it pulls out from the shot, so it's like... You're in the square shape of the room, but
yeah.
it just keeps pulling out. Kind of like in Get Out when he's falling.
Yeah.
And you can see the mom, like, as it's pulling away. It kind of does the same.
It's a modern-day horror classic.
It's
that's
very
how,
good.
That's how,
yeah.
that's how it's going to go down is.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
You said that the unintentional with quotation marks about the daughter dying. I have.
We will do that off.
Oh, we'll do it off?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm good now.
Moving on now that I'm sufficiently creeped out.
Man, I don't want to watch a horror movie after
that.
Man,
well, you guys should watch Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
All right, so in Ben's vein, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen and I will never watch again is Casualties of War with Sean Penn and Michael J. Fox.
I love Sean Penn.
Directed by Brian De Palma. So this movie was an hour and... How long was it? Hour and... 113 minutes of rape. So this movie is based on something called The Incident on Hill 192, which was a true story.
Yeah, World War II, right?
No, Vietnam.
Oh, okay.
It was a kidnap and gang rape and murder of Phan Thai Mao, who was a young Vietnamese woman, and this American group, one of the guys said, hey, let's kidnap a woman, rape her for 5 days, and then at the end we'll kill her.
Vietnam.
And that's exactly what they did. And they told the story, like, exactly how it went down.
They ever get in trouble for it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Got,
and
like,
you can Wikipedia the incident on Hill 192.
Not much of an incident. It's more of a war
yeah,
crime.
Yeah, because the Michael J. Fox, the guy Michael J. Fox played, he's the one who, like... went and reported his mates.
Yeah?
His...
So they all got war crimes, right? Like...
Yeah, so, well, the aftermath of that was, well, so it's really interesting. So, three of the guys were convicted of murder, and the other guy, yeah, they were all found guilty of murder, and, you know, they were sentenced to, like, life imprisonment, and the prosecutor asked for a death sentence for one of them, the one guy who actually killed her,
mm-hmm.
But... he got a life sentence instead. The sentence was then commuted to 20 years, then reduced to 8, which made him eligible for parole in
yeah.
4.
Right. And then
so, one guy was out in like 20 months for 22 months or something like that.
Great, back on the streets.
Dishonorable discharge, yada, yada, yada. But anyway, this entire movie was just a constant state of horror and disturbance.
Well, I hope he had to change his name after that. I hope people were kind of on his case.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of that in, like, Full Metal Jacket, too. With, like, a lot of...
I never saw that movie. This movie, I was at, like, after this movie, I saw this in The Killing Fields, and I was like, that's it, I'm
done.
Jeez,
you chose
I'm out.
Two
Oof.
Dark movies about...
I didn't choose them on... They were... Well, this was, like, got such rave reviews about what a good movie it was, and that was an era where I was your age, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go see all the really good movies, and... This was just horrifying.
Yeah, I can. Well, it should be. Honestly.
Yes, honestly, yeah. Oh. You never saw it.
No. And I'm not going to.
Nope. All right. Well, that's my.
Interested to see comments on YouTube for clips of it, because I go on. I watch Full Metal Jacket on YouTube.
Uh huh.
At least clips of it, and a lot of the comments are like, you know, all the liberal wussies would hate if they made this movie today. Which I think is interesting, because that's totally the opposite of the point that Full Metal Jacket is trying to convey.
Right.
The whole point is that, like, war is terrible, and that's why Vincent D'Onofrio kills himself, is because, like, war made him...
Oh, was he in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
even,
I
like,
love him.
Basic training camp made him mentally unstable to the point where he killed the officer and himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's funny that these guys are on YouTube being like, oh, liberals would hate such a great, violent movie like this, and you're kind of, like, missing the whole point.
Wow.
It's the same thing with...
I can't... If you never saw this movie?
No.
There's no way to mistake this movie. Like,
same thing with Saving Private Ryan, though. People are like...
I never saw that either.
But, like, the whole point of the D-Day scene is not to glorify it.
Yeah.
Like, there are guys begging for their mother as they, like, bleed out
yeah.
on the beach. Like, yep. there's no way of glorifying that for,
no.
like, war.
It's showing how... I mean, the whole point of that film is to show you what that war was really like.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
there's no...
Well, in this and in this movie, in Casualties of War, it was the exact story.
Yeah.
It was. I don't think they took liberties anywhere. It was just the exact story.
I just read the story.
Yeah. It's hard.
There was no officer that felt guilty about it in the actual story. In
yeah,
the movie,
one who reported it did.
I
Michael
know,
J. Fox. But he didn't do anything to stop anyone.
But
know,
in
but
the original, in the
historical
in the original story,
mm-hmm.
nothing. Like, Michael J. Fox, I think his character,
mm-hmm.
was the one who actually suggested it. The main dude suggested it. In the movie, it's him trying to save her at the end. That never happened. They just killed her.
That's what happens when you have propaganda dehumanizing a group of people. And then you go over there to kill them, and then you wonder why.
It takes a special kind of crazy. I mean, So you go in, you shoot up a village, and you stop thinking of people as humans, which I'm not saying is okay in
right.
any way, shape, or form. But it takes a special kind of crazy to say, let's kidnap and gang rape a person for 5 days and then kill them.
It takes one special kind of crazy, and then 4 other guys who have been stripped of humanity to go along with it.
I can't even... I can't even imagine having those kind of thoughts, but like your dad always says to me, if you could imagine actually thinking that way, there'd be something really wrong with you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, talk about a fun house, talk about the ending of World War II. Because when the Germans went over through the Ukraine and Russia, that's all they did on the way up. They destroyed things and raped everyone they could find.
Japan as well with China.
And now what happened when Russia came back, they returned the favor in spades.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you see other historical movies like Downfall,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this wasn't just a special thing that gets a court-martial. This is what you were supposed to do.
Well, even
you're supposed
in the
to
civil...
punish the enemy for what they had done to you, and they did it big time.
In the Civil War, Sherman's march to the sea, they burnt every settlement they could find, and they did pretty bad things too.
Yeah, that was like a war reason. They wanted
right.
to destroy the South's will to fight,
yeah,
ability
yeah.
to fight. So they just made us. I'm sure a lot of people said yeehaw.
Yeah, like, I'm sure. I don't think they
weren't
made a lot of
convincing.
Unhappy.
But yeah,
but I think in any war they're pretty horrific.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the Germans did human experiments on people, for Christ's sake, you know?
Right, especially when you convince yourself that the other people aren't really human.
Yeah, they're the enemy. So
well, not
like,
the enemy, but then if there's a racial thing where it's a little
mm-hmm.
bit easier to have an us and them mentality, because it's...
I think we're doing that
looks.
In this post 9/11 world too, with
sure.
all the Guantanamo stuff coming out now.
Oh yeah,
I can't like, but I can't imagine ever saying I hate a group of people so much that I want to hurt children and.
Well, good thing you don't work for the government.
I mean, I just can't imagine ever feeling like, okay, this is
that's
okay.
Good.
That's great.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's like, that's not, and we're not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just so.
It's just a difficult thing to think about.
Yeah, it
sure.
is. It's, yeah.
Your movie reminded me of another movie.
Oh.
That's, can I just.
Yeah.
It's on topic. That's also based on a true event, The Girl Next Door. And I feel
But that's not about war. That's
it's
totally
not about
different.
War, but it's about rape.
That's totally different.
It's about rape, though. Rape
yeah,
of
but,
a young woman.
Yeah, but it's that's an actual sociopath in this country, like, without any... That's totally different than, like,
just
war-related
crimes.
Just
sort of reminded
crimes.
Me of that.
Hmm. Yeah, I never saw that movie.
Don't.
Gross.
All right, well, anyway, that's my fun.
Oh.
My fun. Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
last one.
All right, well, Twice Now My Thunder got stolen. I was going to talk about jump scares.
Oh.
And I actually took that.
Well.
And now I was going to talk about a realistic movie, that you know, realistic horror. I was going to talk about Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
You can talk
about
that.
No.
But, you know, I looked up a statistic. While we've been doing this podcast, 6,300 people in the world died. So, that's the death rate for an hour.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah, so basically most
so
horror...
you're a really morbid thinker. Right?
Yeah. So wait, is real life your horror movie?
No, I'm saying, but I mean, most horror movies, that's the basic horror of getting killed. Some movies, there's a little bit of horror getting tortured first. But
right.
Basically, the horror movie is you're gonna die. And usually painfully or spectacularly, but... So... It's really stretched, but the movie I'm picking out kind of deals a little bit with what happens after. So I'm going with The Wicker Man, the original Wicker Man.
Not the Nick Cage.
Because in this movie we have two sets of, well, one person from the main world and an island where everybody, and they both have two different ideas about religion. And basically that's, you know, what happens to you after you die, and also how you're supposed to behave while you're here. And so this is where they clash. So all through the movie, there's, until the really very ending, there's nothing really horrifying. So it's really a mystery, but it slowly gets a little bit creepier and creepier as it goes along, and you eventually find out what happened to this missing girl. And then, is this another spoiler thing?
No, it's been out for so
it's
long.
It's been out.
Yeah.
Well, spoiler
alert.
So basically, you find out that the whole island has been having problems with their crops. They're a famous island for their apples. And they needed a human sacrifice because they're pagans. And all the other sacrifices weren't working. So they had to get a virgin come in from the main world. And so happens that this police office detective is a virgin because he's really religious and he's waiting to get married. So they ended up putting him in the Wicker Man with a bunch of sheep, goats, and fruit and lighting it up at the end of the movie while they sing an old song from the 1400s.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, and so little bit by little bit, you see the differences in the culture, and as the guy investigates and meets the people, and they act normally, then they're acting less normally, and then finally the whole trap is sprung in the guy. But so that's why that's such a horrifying movie.
Well, Jacob's Ladder kind of does the same thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, what happens after you die question.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind of the slow burn.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what horror movies deal with that, and actually not too many.
No.
A lot of comedies do, but...
Yeah,
there's saving
your life or whatever.
Well, one of my favorite dramas deals with that, which is Hereafter. I wouldn't say it's necessarily like scary. I would say it's more sad. I cried through the whole movie, but like it just deals with like... just your perceptions of death and stuff like that, which I think is something that humans throughout like different cultures always think about.
Drag Me to Hell kind of touches on that too, right? With the whole gypsy stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that there's a hell and you're cursed and you're gonna go there.
Yeah.
But even though that's a horror movie, that's also a horror comedy.
Yeah.
So maybe there just isn't that much of a who wants to go see a movie that shows what happens after you die, and it's not good.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not
feel
so
like
much entertainment there.
There's a lot of video games that touch on that, interestingly.
Well, there's, like, so many perceptions of what happens after you die. Like, I feel like it'd be hard to make a movie to, show... Because then people... You're going to get so much backlash of people being like, well, that's not really what happens when you die. And then you have, like, that whole...
Yeah.
It kind of loses the horror of what comes after.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Why do they call it the Wicker Man?
Because that's what the sacrifice is. It on the beach, there's a giant, about 50-foot-tall wicker man.
Oh, a man.
Made of wicker. And it's shaped like a man.
Oh, okay.
So it's made of wicker, but it's shaped like a man.
Yeah.
It's hollow, and different things are put inside, and they put him in the middle.
Okay.
And then they light her up. It's burning on the beach.
It's interesting they don't do movies about this, because the whole Silent Hill series takes place in Purgatory, pretty much.
Huh.
And then there's a new game coming out, which is based off Silent Hill, with Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who plays the bad guy in Doctor Strange called, I think it's called Death Standing, or...
The game looks so good. I forget what it's called.
But you just play as Daryl from The Walking Dead. It's like face captured in, and all people really know about it is that you're kind of like in purgatory, and there's just this really horrifying, like, kind of dark figure in the distance, and you're just walking on this beach towards him.
Hmm.
So I don't know. We'll have to see where that game goes.
So there's a baby?
Mark? But it's cool that... It's cool that other forms of media touch on this.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So thank you guys for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Last time, everybody knows Ash and I, but...
I'm Ben's brother, Max.
My mom.
Dadmeister.
And once again, check out Dadmeister's podcast, EGADS. That's capital EGADS.
Oh, no, I've called you
exclamation point.
My secret identity.
Exclamation
ruined.
Point.
No, you said it right. You just said exclamation point instead of an exclamation point.
But check it out. I'm going to be on one of their shows coming up. It's a great podcast. And
yeah.
Hopefully we get to do this again sometime.
Yay!
But until then, we'll be back with Steel next semester.
That's the one we come back on?
Yeah, with the usual. Oh, please. It's a good episode.
Rock'em Sock'em Robot.